My name's Jim Boyette. I'm not the senior pastor. Brian Hedges is, but I just wanted to welcome everybody getting out in this ice cold day. I don't like the cold too well anymore either, but it's good to have you here. Thank you for coming. I learned early service. I didn't know this, but early service, I guess Brian asked us to do this about a year ago. Each of the Bible Hour pastors to preach on the Lord's Supper, take time to talk about some things that are in there. And it came up my turn this time around, so you're lucky you get to hear this. Brian gets to hear it twice, so I don't know how he's going to do that. But I do want to appreciate and thank you guys for coming and getting out. Something I'm going to talk about today is just something that God kind of gave me over the years. There's some different things in here, but just how do we need to look at ourselves and check ourselves out. And the Lord's Supper is important to us, so we ought to value that and take the time as we go to the Lord. And tonight, if you're able to, and we'd like to have you, tonight is the Lord's Supper. We serve the Lord's Supper in the evening on the fifth Sunday of every month, or of the fifth Sunday of the month that it comes in. It has not every month, but and this happens to be that fifth Sunday. And we'd like for you to come and be a part of that if you would like. If you can't make it, let us know. If you want to have the Lord's Supper, we can bring it to your house. We have deacons and myself or Randy or any of the pastors can come to you and serve you the Lord's Supper if that's something that you have a need for. I know some people can't get out, and even if they have to work maybe this evening, there might be an opportunity to that. But I wanted to take us over to 1 Corinthians 11. I'm not a tech guy, so I don't have anything going to go up on the screen, so you're going to have your Bible. If you want, and if you don't, there's one in front of you. It should be one in front of you in the chair if you need one. I'll try to be careful and not go fast. My wife warned me before I started to read slow and not get high speed. I get nervous and I get going, and I go 95 miles an hour to 150, so I don't want to lose anybody. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 17 to the end of the chapter. And then I'm going to talk about a few things there that God kind of laid on my heart. I know when Brian told us this a year ago, my heart kind of just dropped to the ground because I'm thinking, man, how many things can we preach out of the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 or on the Lord's Supper? And so far, if you haven't heard them, you need to go and listen to Randy Foster and Roger Heath and Jeff Trude. They've all given really good messages and about the Lord's Supper, and I think they're important for us to devour those things and look at those things is what's been said. So if you get a chance, go online, read them, listen to them. They're really, I think they made an impression on me. So hopefully there's some good stuff out of this for you. But God used this in my life years and years ago and has continued to do things in my life as we talk about this. But in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 there, it says, Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. And when you come together, therefore in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, every one taketh before his other his own supper. So they were bringing their own lunch, basically, to the Lord's Supper. And some people were starving, some people weren't eating. So they were bringing their own food. And they considered that the Lord's Supper. And Paul's kind of reprimanding the church at Corinth about that. And he goes on there, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. And he says, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So let's pray, and I'm going to dive into this. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and this time. And Lord, I just ask that you would please take this word and put it into our hearts, Lord, and allow us to see how we need to look at it for ourselves, Lord. And I just pray that if there is somebody here too, Lord, that doesn't know you as Savior, that you'll use what's said maybe to touch their hearts and to bring them closer to you, Lord, and bring them to that point of salvation. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for keeping us safe as we come. And Lord, bring us back this evening so that we can be partakers of the Lord's Supper. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, there's two things that I see in the verses that we need to do. And number one, it says to remember. Remember the Lord's death. It tells you to partake of the bread and the drink of this cup so that you can remember that the Lord has died for you. And keep that. And that's what we should do every time we come together. And the second thing is examining yourselves there in verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself. And that's what the Lord's Supper is for us to take the time to stop and examine ourselves. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. Keep those in memory so we don't forget it. I mean, it's been a couple thousand years now. And people forget things. I forget things that I did yesterday a lot of times. So we have a tendency to not remember always. But I want to look at this examining part. And that's the thing that really got me when I went through this passage. One of the questions that, I mean, I was always taught that you need to kind of have an outline or examine. Through speech, you're supposed to have an outline of why you do things. And one of the things that two questions I have to look at is why do we need to examine ourselves, and how do we examine ourselves? So why do we need to examine ourselves? And that's the first thing we're going to look at. Why do we have to take time to examine ourselves? And if you would turn over there to Ephesians chapter 5, this is the reason I think we need to examine ourselves. And Ephesians chapter 5, you know, just like I asked Matt to sing that last song, Even So Come, talking about the bride, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about Christ and his relationship with the church and the church being the bride of Christ. And, you know, we use this passage to teach husbands and wives how they ought to interact with each other, treat each other, take care of each other. But really, Paul's trying to get us to understand our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are in Christ, and how we ought to respond to him, really, in the long run. And it takes a lot. We need to think about those things, how we are related in Jesus Christ. And we are the body of Christ. We are the bride. Just as that song was saying, we want to be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, even so come. We want to be prepared, be ready for his return. And we, as the bride, need to check ourselves out and make sure we're ready. And in verse 20, 21, 22 there, and I'll read down to the end, to verse 32 anyway, it just says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, even, or he that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And it's, he says it's a great mystery, and Paul uses our human relationship to kind of explain to us our heavenly relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are the bride, and the reason I say that we need to examine ourselves would be there in verses 26 and 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, we ought to be examining ourselves, make sure we don't have any spots, no blemishes, no wrinkles, the things that are in our lives all the time. We want to make sure that those things are taken care of. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. And Paul is presenting the church to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the day that I got saved, or maybe you got saved. You accepted Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us that when we get saved, we're cleansed, aren't we? We're washed as white as snow. We always use the verses. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." So God cleansed us. The day that we received and accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, he cleaned us up. He cleansed us, washed away, got rid of all the spots, all the blemishes, and all the stains, and tried to make us white as snow. And we have to accept that, and God has done that. And I know as we go through this world, we're going to get blemishes, we're going to get spots. Those things are going to happen. But God wants to help us out. And I think the hardest thing, at least from my mind, is to realize that God did that for me, that I've been cleaned up. And one of the things I said earlier in the other service, you know, when I get dirty, I like getting dirty. Once I get cleaned up, I don't like getting dirty. But when I get dirty, I like staying there. And that's a problem. I shouldn't stay there in the dirt sometimes. I ought to get up and get cleaned up and go. But when I get cleaned up, I don't want to come out into the garage and work on my car, have a flat tire or something of that nature. I know this morning, hopefully, all of you took a shower, got yourself all cleaned up, combed your hair, shaved, did whatever you needed to do to make yourself presentable. We do that all the time, naturally, don't we? Every day. We look into the mirror, we check ourselves out, look at ourselves, make sure we're clean. I don't always dress like this. This was just for today. I don't know. My wife kind of helps me sometimes make sure that I'm clean and dressed up. But, you know, we have to look at ourselves from that position. And that's hard for me to do that, you know, to understand why we have to be examining ourselves. And I want to go to the next one, how do we examine ourselves? And I know this may seem fast, but I got a lot of little things I would like to talk about in the end. But so how do we examine ourselves? And if you'll turn over to James chapter 1, this is probably this is a simple thing right here. James chapter 1 and verse 19. Here all the pages still turning, so I'll wait. That's the one I got saved. That's what I had to do is flip through the Bible. That's one way I learned where the books of the Bible are at, so I don't know. These electronic things, you can flip the pages real easy, but I'm not into electronics, so... But in verse 19, he says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, I don't know about you. When I got saved, somebody took the word of God and told me, what the Word of God said about me getting saved, what I needed. I told them in the first service, when I was 11 years old, or 11 or 12, I was in the Boy Scouts. We were camped out, and one of my buddies in the tent laid out the gospel. I mean, and I remember that to this day. And the day I got saved, I remembered him just taking the time to teach me the gospel. I rejected it at that time, but it was the Word of God. The words that he said stayed in my head for all those years until I received Jesus Christ. And here in verse 22, he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only," because I could have just heard God's word and not gotten saved, right? And nothing would have happened in my life. But he says, "Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." And that's the mirror that we all look at every morning, and we look at ourselves, and sometimes we don't like what we see, but we look in the mirror. And sometimes when we look into the mirror of God's word, we don't like what we see either. But he says, "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is or was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." So when you look into the law of liberty, when you look into the word of God, you see those blemishes. I mean, when I got saved, I didn't realize things about myself that I needed to know. I didn't know that I was a drunkard. I didn't know I was a fornicator. I didn't know I was an adulterer, a murderer, whatever else you want to put on there, a liar, a thief. All those things, I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew I needed to get saved, but I didn't think about the fact that I was all that until after I got saved. And God started showing me through his word that, hey, this is what you were. This is why I saved you, why I died for you, because this is what you were. I'm not that anymore, and God doesn't look at us like that. When we got saved, when we do what Isaiah 1:18, you know, says, "Come now and let us reason together," we're reasoning with God about, hey, I didn't do that. Well, yeah, you did. I didn't murder anybody. Well, you thought about it. You know, we toss those things back and forth. I did. I told them in the first service, when I was growing up, my dad encouraged my brothers and I to box or fight with each other, you know, to take out our aggression with each other. And I threw knives at my brother. I shot him with a BB gun. I did all kinds of, I'm not surprised my brother hasn't lost an eye, but you know, we beat up each other all the time, but somebody tried to hurt us, we would group together and go after them. We still cared about each other. And so we need to make sure that we don't have any of these spots. You know, God showed me all these little blemishes and spots that were in my life that, you know, I didn't know. And as I read the Bible, God taught me how to take care of those things. You know, I'm not necessarily going to confess anything, but before I got saved, I liked to drink beer. That was one of those things. I just loved it. One of those things that I enjoyed. I didn't like smoking cigarettes, but I sure did like drinking beer. And you know, after I'd gotten saved, and I'm studying the Bible, reading through the Bible, and God started showing me scriptures. I didn't understand why he was doing it at the time. It's like, why is this important? And you know, in the Old Testament, it talks about wine and strong drink. That it's not good for you to give that to your neighbor. It's not good for you to be in that condition. And as I read those verses, it made me want to study other verses out and other scriptures, especially in the New Testament, and reading in Timothy about a bishop and a deacon, and a bishop's not given to wine, and a deacon was not given to much wine. And I've heard all different kinds of things preached about those two things, you know, I had to study that out for myself and kind of settle within myself as how God was wanting to use that in my life. Should I quit drinking beer or not? You know, I don't think God would have been upset if I didn't. I don't think I would be here doing this now if I hadn't. I think God wanted to use me, and he had a plan for my life where he wanted me to be at. I had to make the choice to say, okay, Lord, I don't need that. My wife and I, we joke about it a lot of times. We'll go to a restaurant. Years ago, we haven't joked about it for quite a while now because hasn't been a big deal. But we'd go to a restaurant and we'd sit in there. I'd get a steak, and I'd say, "Man, I'd sure like to have a nice beer with this." I don't know how anybody else likes beer with their steak, but it sure tasted good to me. And she said, "Well, get one." And then I'd say, "Yeah." About the time I'd get one, somebody from church would walk in the door, and I'd feel bad about it, and I wouldn't know what to do. And sure enough, every time I said that, somebody from church walked in the door. It's like God was trying to let me know that, hey, somebody's watching you. You need to pay attention. And so as I'd go along, just other things in my life, God would kind of show me through the scriptures and teach me that, hey, I'm trying to set you apart for something. I didn't know God was wanting me to be a pastor. He gave me the desire years ago, but I didn't know that he wanted me to be in this position. When I got saved, if God would have told me, we're going to send you down here to Heartland Baptist Fellowship in 30 years and you're going to be up here preaching, I'd have said no. I don't want to even get saved. I'd just go home. I probably would have said no. We have God's working with us, teaching us, training us up, showing us what we need to look at in this law of liberty, into this mirror that we look at every day. We have to open it up and we have to read it. And God will give you the verses. And the verses, like I said, in the Old Testament, when I'd read them, it was like they just jump off the page and hit me upside the head. And it's like I didn't understand what was going on. And there's been a lot of times, almost every day when I read that God does those things. The verse will just jump out and it's like, what are you trying to show me? So I have to take the time just to study that verse out and figure out what God's trying to show me. Maybe it's something in my life. Maybe it's something that's going on around me. But the scripture's what we need to look into every single day. The minute you get up, you don't have to read it right away, but be thinking on it, pondering on it. Like this message, like I said, Brian told us a year ago, probably for the last 6-8 months, I've been going through this thing in my head. I could almost have this thing memorized by now. And sometimes I'd wake up, and I told Brian, I said, man, I'd wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I need to sleep. But something would come to my mind about what's going on in this message, and it would just wake me up. And it gets frustrating because I want to sleep. I don't want to be thinking about this book. But God would do those things. The Holy Spirit would rouse me out of my sleep and make me look at it. And, you know, for years, my wife has sewn and altered wedding dresses and done all kinds of things with brides for their dresses. And you know, when we got saved, we got cleansed. We put on that white garment. We put on the garment, and God's cleansed us. And I'm watching my wife do these alterations, hearing these girls giggling and getting excited about getting married and getting ready for the day that they're going to be with their husband. And man, they want this dress just to look so-so. They don't want any blemishes on it. There was times when some of the girls would bring the dress. They had never put it on until they came to my wife to do the alteration. And then they'd have this stain on the bottom, and they'd panic. Like, what are we going to do? How do I get rid of this? You got to wash it out. You got to clean it out. And there's a certain way with each different material to do it. And I'm learning this stuff over the years, and I probably know more about dresses than most people. I get kind of nervous about that. But it's important that we take the Word of God and let God show us how to remove those stains, those spots that are in our life. If we don't allow Him to do His work through the Holy Spirit and through His Word, He can't do anything with us. You know, I told him in the first service, there was a time when I think God wanted me to be a missionary and go out on the mission field. And I could not let go of my comfort in this world as far as here in Kansas City and taking care of my family. And I just wasn't able to trust God to let me go or take me to where He wanted to go and to make sure He would take care of me. And so I really struggled with that. And I don't think God got mad at me or anything. He just kind of set me aside and said, okay, just take a break, relax for a while, get your composure back, don't get too worried. And then one day, you know, my wife and I were talking about coming down here to Heartland, and we came down here, and God made us comfort with this. And I think, you know, God will use us as we go, but he wants to use us, and if we're paying attention to His Word. And all those years of Him telling me that, you know, I needed to put aside the drinking and the fornicating, the adultery and all that stuff, He was preparing me to come to be here. I didn't know that and didn't realize that. But we need to take the time to examine ourselves. And that's what the Lord's Supper, like tonight, is the Lord's Supper. We need to do that. We need to stop and just come together as a body and say, hey, Lord, what are you trying to do? What are you doing with me? What do you have? You know, sometimes and I know I've done this, and Brian's let me know, I've offended people. I do that pretty easy, and not even knowing I did it. And I've had to make amends with those people. And so sometimes that's what the Lord's Supper is about for us as a body, to come together and help each other. Say, I'm sorry. Just be willing to say you're sorry. Say, hey, I love you. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anything, but that happens. So we have to do those things. We have to take the time to do that. And the Lord's Supper is perfect for that. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that we have an examination that needs to be made. Put ourselves underneath this book and let it show us, reflect to us where we might be wrong or where we might be right too. But we need to take that time. And one thing I thought about as a body, we are the body of Christ, right? Everybody agree with that? We're all part of that. You are part of the bride. If you're saved, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a part of the body. And you are a bride, the bride of Christ, every single one of us. And we all have an opportunity to come together. And I think even this evening, not that we have to make a decision corporately or voting or anything like that, I'm saying, but, you know, we have opportunities as a church. We had an opportunity to go to India. We have an opportunity to go to Brazil when Harold was down there. All those things that God opens the doors for us to, you know, different parts of the world, we have to agree or disagree or whatever, but we need to go and do what God wants us to do. I was talking about the thing that I think, at least that I've seen here in the last few months, is this Bible conference that we had. And God has given us the Bible equipment, the binders, and possibly a chance to buy a good cutter so that we can do God's work. Take His Word, open it up, cut it, do whatever we need to do, glue it back together, and ship it off to different countries, different parts of the world. You know, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I think it'd be awesome for somebody to walk up and say, hey, because of this Bible, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And Heartland Baptist Fellowship put that Bible together and sent it out to wherever it needed to go. And the Lord, I think, and this is in my mind, so if you don't agree, I'm sorry, but I think the Lord will look at us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, Heartland Baptist Fellowship. And He'll look at the whole body, not just an individual. He'll look at all of us and say, you did the right thing. You did what needed to be done. You took the Word of God, you put it together, you glued it, you cut it, you took the time to do it. And it is a sacrifice of time. It's a sacrifice of everything that we have to go and do those things and do it corporately. Individually, we need to take the time to look at ourselves and say, hey, this Lord, what do you need to change in my life? What am I doing right? You know, what am I doing wrong? You need to help me correct that. And if you open up your heart to that, God's going to take the scriptures. As you read the Bible, He's going to show you those things that are in your life that may not be exactly right. But we have to open up this Word of God. We have to look into this perfect law of liberty. And we want to make sure we get all the spots cleaned off of our garment. Get ready for the Lord. And there in James chapter 1, in the very last two verses, it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And he says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I thought it was kind of neat that the Lord put that in there, the last little phrase, to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, by looking into this, you and I try to remember the verse in the first service, but you're in the world, but you're not of the world, right? Isn't that a piece of the scripture? That we're in this world, but we're not of it, but we're in it. We're going to get spots on our garments. We're going to get dirty feet. We're going to need to get cleaned up. We're going to rub up against people that aren't saved, that do things that aren't right, and we have choices to make. Every day, I do. Every day, I have choices to either go along with what they're saying, or go along with what they're doing, or not to. To say, hey, no, the Lord doesn't want me to do that. I know when I worked at Associated Grocers, I was a truck driver for 25 years, and most of you know truck drivers. Everybody says they're the scum of the earth, but I don't know. But they're the bottom of the barrel, and they say rude, crude, and impolite, and socially unacceptable things all the time. And I had a choice, either to go with them, to be a part of it, or to say, no, Lord's doesn't want me to do that. They got out in the parking lot. They'd sit down and drink their beer all the time. And they had their trunk open, their cooler up, and they were going at it. And I could have been, I was invited to go to that. And I could have, I guess, when I first got saved. But I wouldn't have reflected the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have been a testimony for him. And I think God was, in the long run, was trying to set me apart and to get me ready. And I tell a lot of stories of things that happened, you know, when I first got saved. And something that happened before I got saved, I told it in the first service, and I'll tell it to you guys too. But I used to have really long hair, and I started shaving it off a few years ago. But before I got saved, I had a buddy of mine that was in Jacksonville Naval Air Station down in Jacksonville, Florida. And I was going down to see my parents. They live in Orlando. And so I went by to pick him up, and he'd gotten out of boot camp, and he wanted to come back home to his parents. So I went in there to pick him up, and these guys had been in boot camp for 3 months. They hadn't seen any women, and I had long blonde hair, and this guy come up behind me and was tapping me on the shoulder, and started to ask me out on a date until he saw that I had a beard. Now, you know, the one thing that, after I'd gotten saved, God didn't make me cut my hair like it's no big deal, but there was some things along the way that I didn't want to cause somebody else to sin like that, to think of me and lust after me in that way. And I thought, I'm going to get my hair cut. And then my son one day wanted to get his hair cut when he was about 5 or 6, and he asked me if I'd cut my hair too, so I went along with him. But, you know, God does those little things. He doesn't force us. I've never been forced. God has never taken my arm, turned it behind my back, and forced me to do anything at all. He's always asked me gently, prodded me along, and said, "Hey, Jim, I need you to do this." And it's been a sweet, really, to me. God has never, ever done that to me as far as, I mean, I've been spanked a few times for things that I just wouldn't quit doing, but God wanted me to understand that he loved me, he cared about me. And he's trying to bring me to that point where I look at it as the bride of Christ and want to be a part of the bride of Christ and know that that's where I am. You know, I need to keep cleaned up. I need to keep those spots off, the blemishes away. And, you know, we read these verses in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Just as I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, he wants us to be that living sacrifice, and he wants to transform our minds, the way we think about things. Because I didn't know I was an adulterer. I didn't know I was a fornicator. You know, those words that I didn't even know what they meant when I got saved. They were strange to me. And God, through his word and time, was teaching me, hey, this is what you were, and you need to quit doing that. Stay away from that. Avoid it. One of my favorite passages, I didn't say this in the first service, but in the book of Job, when it talks about Job eschewing evil, and the word eschew means to go in a different direction. And when he saw evil, he went around it. He avoided it. He stayed away from it. And I really like that in God's word. When I should know where evil's at. And if I see it, I should avoid it. I should stay away from it. If something is a temptation for me, and God show me what my temptations are, and if I don't know if beer or being a drunkard is a temptation, I think it is, but you know, God says, hey, you need to stay away from that group of people or whatever that may be. Now, I've been saved for 35, 36 years now, and I'm comfortable with being around people like that. It doesn't bother me. I got brothers that drink, and I'm not drawn into it like I used to be. So it's been great for me as far as that goes. And God's removed that spot, that blemish, and shown me that, hey, you can stay away from it. You can avoid it. And when you read the scriptures, God gives you the little verses like the book of Job that says, Job eschewed evil. And that to me meant a lot. When I saw that, I thought, oh, wow, I can go around it. I can avoid it. If I look for it, if I'm paying attention to what's going on around me, I see it, I can avoid it. I can stay away from it. And we need to look at the Word of God that way and look into that mirror and check ourselves out. In Galatians 1:4, it says, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So he's wanting to deliver us. We just have to accept that. I know when I got saved, I was not thinking about the fact that God was going to deliver me and rapture me and take me out as the bride of Christ. It's taken 30 years for me to put those things together and understand those things a little better. And I don't understand it all by any means. I'm still learning a lot. Just hang around with Brian and Randy and all them guys and you'll learn and they'll teach you. And I learn something all the time, that God shows me how I need to live and how I need to look at my life, why I do the things that I do and why we do the things that we do. And one of the verses that was our chapter in Romans chapter 14, verses 12 through 19 became very important to me in my life when I first gotten saved. Like it says there in verse 12, it says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So we're going to all, every one of us individually are going to give an account to God for ourselves, what we did in the body of Christ and as a part of the body of Christ. In verse 13, he says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, and there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest not thou charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So though that passage, when I first gotten saved, really meant a lot to me and it has over the years, just talking about like the long hair. I don't want somebody to stumble. Even though they're not saved, I don't want to cause them to stumble. And just talking about going to the restaurant and drinking a beer, I don't want to cause somebody to stumble. I don't want a weaker brother or sister in Christ to see me, even at that time when I was a deacon, I think, at that time, and for them to think, oh, he's, you know, whatever, and that caused them to stumble. I don't want to do that. And God made this impression on my wife and I really early on, that we wanted to be careful as serving the Lord. We wanted to be acceptable to God. And he asked us to do that. We didn't have to do it. Christ didn't twist my arm and say, you got to do this. I just need you to do this. Why? Because somebody's watching you. Every time I turned around, somebody's watching, paying attention to my life. And God wants me to think about others, not myself. Think about reaching those people that are unsaved. If I go and tell people that I'm a Christian and I'm a pastor of church and I'm cussing and drinking beer, they're not going to really think too much of me. And I got to be careful with that. I want to be careful with that. And then God's put that on my heart to do that, to be seriously thinking about what's going on in my life and what's happening. And I want to give you this one last verse in the Song of Solomon in chapter 4. You don't have to turn it if you don't want to, but Song of Solomon is a great book on a picture of Solomon being the Lord Jesus Christ and the woman he's going to marry. I can't remember the name, but she's a picture of the church, the bride. And it talks about how they just love each other, how much they think of each other, what they think about each other, how beautiful each other is to the other. And there's this one just little bitty verse that years ago God gave to me, but it says in Song of Solomon chapter 4, verse 7, and this is Solomon, and it says, thou art fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And talking about him looking at his bride to be, how there was no spot in her and how beautiful she was. I've officiated weddings. I've had two daughters that have gotten married, and I've seen guys standing down here when their bride comes through that back door and comes in, they don't see any spot in her. Whether she can cook clean or not, they don't care. They see her as beautiful, right? And they love her. And they don't look at the spot. They don't see any spot. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same for you and I. We don't, according to him, the way he looks at us, we don't have any spots. We're clean. We need to be prepared. And the only reason I say this is because of what it says to examine ourselves and make sure you're ready for the rapture to take place, ready to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ, to be ready for when that comes. And we're honestly, in my heart, I think we're right at the time. We're close, waiting for the Lord. And I know people have said that for thousands of years, but everything's set up for the Lord to come back. Everything's ready. And we need to be prepared as a body. We need to think about, do we need to continue meeting? I mean, that's important. Just meet on Sunday. Those things are important. To come to the Lord's Supper this evening is important. To take the time to say, hey, I want to stop and examine myself and get prepared for the Lord to come back. Who knows, like Brian will tell you here in a minute, but Ron Reeves passed away. Maybe you don't know that, but Ron was a founding member of this church. Him and his wife Ruth, he's standing up with the Lord right now. He's ready. He was ready to go. And we never know when our time is going to be that we'll pass. And God will take us home. So we have to be ready for that. Whether it be at the rapture or in death, God's wanting us to be ready. Get into God's word. Be prepared. Take the time to read it, study it. All the things I've told you about myself were things that God just kind of convicted me on a personal level to take the time to study out. I don't want to tell you guys that you have to do all that I did. I mean, I used to go to Youth for Christ years ago. I drove a bus on Saturday nights and took 50 kids every Saturday night to the Youth for Christ. And there were some good preachers, good teachers. And one guy preached on rock and roll and destroying all your rock and roll records and all that stuff. And I got caught up in that. And I'm not to say that he was right or wrong necessarily, but that was a conviction he had. I kind of regretted sometimes getting rid of things that God hadn't convicted me of getting rid of. It hasn't hurt me or anything to have gotten rid of it. I don't think God would have been upset with it. But, you know, that wasn't my conviction. That wasn't what I was convicted of because I didn't take the time to study that out, make sure that God was showing me, hey, you need to change this in your life. And those are things that as you study God's word, you look into that mirror and you study it out, God's going to convict you of what you need to get rid of, what you need to get rid of and put into your life. You need to put more Wednesday night Bible study. You need to put D1 into your life. Whatever you need to put into your life, God will be there to tell you. And we just have to listen, be a hearer of the Word of God, like James says, listening to what God says, and then do what He says to do. And be faithful in that and pay attention to that. So I just want to encourage you guys in that, okay? I'm trying not to beat everybody up, but I'm going to let Brian come back up and finish up. But I just want to thank you for this time today, and hopefully maybe God has shown you some things that you can apply to your life. Thank you.